your Bibles with you, please take them and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, a special message for Mother's Day. The song we just sang said, God is in the process of molding masterpieces for His honor and for His glory. Did you know that God wants to use what we call triangulated ministry? In other words, God can do anything by His direct power in your heart and in mind, but you know most often He does not choose to do that. God wants to take transformed people and use them in service to help others to be transformed. And I know of no greater matrix to do that than the mothers that God uses along the way and the grandmothers that God also uses in a very powerful and wonderful way. In Sunday school today, I want to take some time, and you be thinking about this, will you? And I know it's kind of often a tearful event, but I want you to be thinking about some things that you are thankful for about your mom. I want you to be thinking about that. But I'm going to take it one step farther, because our text is going to kind of draw us into this. I want you to be thinking about what you need to be thankful about from your grandmothers. And there's always something that we can learn. And even if you struggle with a mom that perhaps isn't saved or isn't everything that the Lord would have her to be, there's still some lessons there, right? I mean, there's still some lessons of what we shouldn't do, perhaps. But there's things that we can learn. There's ways that we can grow. And so we're going to be dealing with that in Sunday school. But let me read for you Team Ministry, Grandma and Mom Linking Together for the Glory of God. Here we go, Team Ministry. And I think this is a wonderful picture that we have before us today. I'm going to read for you 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, but we're really going to be keying in on just one verse this morning, and that's verse 5. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I know that you want to grow us. And you use examples, and obviously moms and grandmas are some of the most wonderful examples that we find not only in the scriptures, but in the lives of local churches roundabout. And so, Father, it is my earnest prayer that young people would learn to listen to the instruction as moms, according to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, share the laws that are implementing biblical principles in the homes and in lives. I pray, Lord, that you give mom's wisdom and grandma's wisdom to look behind them and see the biblical legacy that needs to be established through sharing your truth, through planning, through preparations, through 1,001 little things each and every day, Lord. They need your wisdom to navigate through life, to counteract the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life that is naturally in the heart of all of us as sinners. And so, Father, I pray that you would continue to grow and strengthen our moms and our grandmas to that end. And for those, Lord, who are struggling, for those, Lord, who need to be repenting or maturing, and yet they're just not accomplishing these goals, Lord, we love them and we want to help them. We pray that they would have heart to listen to what the Scriptures have to say, and that they would make the adjustments that are necessary, Lord, while they still have an opportunity to be the impactors that you would have them to be. Thank you so much, Lord, for these wonderful ladies and all that they accomplish through your grace, power, and enablement. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin in the understanding of team ministry, grandma and mom linking together, I'll tell you what, that's a team I don't want to go up against. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in opposition to moms and grandmas that love the Lord. My grandmother was saved at the age of 13. She went to an old-fashioned tent meeting somewhere in Iowa. I don't even know where it was. And grandma went forward, and the evangelist and whomever gave her over to a Christian counselor, and grandma trusted Christ as her personal Lord and Savior. And I don't know all the long-term details, but I have an idea that when I get to heaven, I am going to be able to sit down and realize that grandma's prayers were a big part of all those in our family that have trusted Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. Not all of my family knows Christ, but of those that do, I have an idea that Agnes Edla Crow had a major impact in all of those areas. From the time I was young, going to Grandma's house, I remember Grandma would invite me over for tea. Now, I know that may seem a little strange, but that was not an uncommon thing. And when I went over to Grandma's for tea, immediately she set out her finest bone china cups. And I remember, because even as a kid, I couldn't get my finger through the hole. You know, really fine china, it's not meant to put your finger through it. It's kind of really ornate and anything. And so you just kind of grab it, you know, and so Grandma would have, we would have tea. And I don't ever remember really liking the tea, but I remember that and she always had a sugar bowl. Now, this is important, and now you're seeing the impact, because this is happening, you know, this is, you know, 58 years ago, 55 years ago, somewhere, and Grandma had a bowl, but her sugar, they were all in cubes, and she had a silver little pinchy thing, and the silver little pinchy thing, which one of you ladies can come up later on and tell me what the real name is for it, but I will just call it, because I'm a guy, the silver little pinchy thing. I would grab the little silver little pinchy thing, or she would, and she would say, one lump or two? And literally we put and I usually wanted three, but only took two, because the tea tasted somewhat like dirty socks soaked in the river, you know. But at any rate, we put that in. You stir enough of that stuff in there. And then she was always, and Grandma made some of the most fantastic sugar cookies that you could ever. They just melted. I don't know how she did that. They wouldn't fall apart in your hands, but you put them in your mouth and then put a little tea. They immediately just dissolved upon the tea's arrival. So if nothing else, I got a really good sugar buzz, you know, when I was over at Grandma's. And then Grandma would talk to me about things. She'd point out a painting on the wall, and she said, look at that painting. And I remember, I mean, I can visually see it. There was one with these beautiful two white turtle doves. And she would talk about just the beauty of those things. Grandma injected into my life a view of life that just went whizzing by me the rest of the time. You know what I mean? I mean, I didn't pay attention. It just kind of, you know, life just kind of went flying by. I was throwing baseballs, and I was shooting my BB gun, and I was, you know, doing all those kind of things. And when I went to Grandma, she captured me with her eloquence. She captured me with her attention. She captured me with the little details in life until all of a sudden, as a young boy, I began to realize there's a lot of beauty in life that she sees that I don't see. And I need to learn to see those things, because there's a lot of enjoyment there. I mean, looking at those china cups, and you know, that was something that I, you know, don't touch that. I mean, that's pretty much what I thought they were, but not with Grandma. No, Grandma brought them down, and she set them out, and I felt kind of big. You know, I felt like lifting the little finger there, you know, when I drank out of the teacup. I felt, this is kind of, I don't know why I thought it, but this is fairly significant, what we're doing. You know, this has some protocol to it, and I didn't even know the word protocol at that particular time. But what am I trying to say? There was an impact there over some little thing that was vitally important to me as a little boy. the little boy who, you know, trust me, I was not the little boy that was into the frilly and to the nice. And you know, my cousin often went home with a bloody nose. And to this day, my cousin carries a scar right here between his eyes where I hit him with a rock. So now you have an idea of what kind of me and my cousin were like. You know, I told you the story about the beautiful little Jeep with the Surrey on top that my aunt gave. And my cousin and I immediately tied it on a rope about 30 feet and drug it behind our bicycles until it came back. There was no paint nor Surrey on it. And so she saw it later that day and said, "Is that the Jeep I gave you?" So that's the kind of little boy you're dealing with. What am I saying? I say grandmothers and mothers have a unique ability to read into the lives of young men and even adult men a perspective that God gives them that we don't have. We're not wired that way. And I have learned, I thankfully for a godly mother and a godly grandmother and a very godly mother-in-law and a godly grandma on that side, I have learned to pay attention to their perspective. Because they see needs I don't see. They are in touch with people and in ways that I don't see. And I need their perspective. I need to value their outlook. I don't always agree with it. And there's sometimes I wrestle with whether to accept their perspective or not, but I know this much. I need to weigh it heavily. I need to give it great consideration because God has wired them differently. Are men and women the same? I hate the whole unisex movement that is in the world today because God did not make men and women the same. And I think the more we blur that out in our secular world, the more we lose. And it's not about men are more important than women or women are more important about men. It's that God has gifted them with unique capabilities and abilities, and we need each other. We vitally need each other, and it's vitally important to make the whole world go around. It is. And so as we look at our passage today in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, the Apostle Paul begins by saying, "I've been called to be an apostle. I'm writing unto you, Timothy." He said, "Timothy, I know things are going really tough for you, and they are at Ephesus." Notice what he says in the middle of verse 4. He said, I'm mindful of your tears. Timothy was literally brought to tears because of the struggles spiritually that were going on in his life. And it's very interesting that in the middle of Timothy's struggles and the difficulties that are going on, what does he do? He stops in verse 5 and he says, "When I call to remembrance something about your life, Timothy, I want you to remember something." Now, I don't know about you, when if I were to write unto Timothy, and he's having a difficult time in local church ministry, and the people he's fighting against, this and also in last time, perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parent, unthankful, unholy. And he lists all that in chapter 3, and he talks about as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, and you're going to find all that, you're going to have all this opposition in your life. I'll tell you, if I were to write unto Timothy, I'd say, "Hey, Timothy, suck it up, buttercup. Endure hardness. Come on, punk, get with it. Ministry's tough. You got to have a thick skin. Get after it and begin to do what, come on, do these things. Just get, you know, come on, God called you to preach. Get out there, Timothy, and do it." Paul does not remind Timothy until much later on about the theological premise that he is supposed to stand on. But he begins by saying, "Timothy, I need you to get in touch with something. I need you to get in touch with what your grandma taught you and what your mother taught you." You find that amazing? I find it very significant. I find it very important. I mean, Timothy's on the verge of quitting the ministry. And now to sustain Timothy in ministry, the first thing, not the only thing, but the first thing he says, "I want you to take a trip back to what your grandma taught you and what your mother taught you." You know what that tells me, men in this room? That during tough times, we need to pay attention to the wisdom, guidance, endurance, leadership, passion, and strength of the godly women in our life. I know that's not often emphasized, but Paul is, isn't he? It's you can't speak against that. Paul is doing it. Paul is emphasizing that. And so he begins, he says, that there has been a priority here. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, Timothy, you're having tears. Ministry is really difficult. Now, Timothy, if you're going to endure, if you're going to continue on, if you're going to be a strong believer, you've got to set the priority of faith in your lives. This has got to be the priority in your life. Well, who did that first? Well, Grandma Lois did that. Timothy, do you remember as a little kid, your grandmother set you down and said, you know what's most important in this life? Living to the glory of Jesus Christ, even when it's hard. You know, all of us can live for the glory of God when it's easy, right? When things are sailing along smooth. But what about when things are tough? Preaching down at the Pacific Art and Rescue Mission in the inner city of Chicago, which I did for 2 summers, we ran into, there was a room that was long and it was rectangle, and on any given morning, there would be up to 200 drunks and drug addicts in the room. All of them were adult men because they kept them separated there at Pacific Art and Rescue Mission. If you've ever listened to the program Unshackled, that's actually where those stories come from. The 200 men that were in there, the only reason they were in that 6 o'clock in the morning service was to, in order to get breakfast, they had to come to the 6 o'clock morning service. And for the most part, the drug addicts, the drunks, the people whose lives were ruined. I remember a medical doctor who became a wino and lost his wife, his family, his practice. He lost everything. I've told you before about the 14-year-old boy that sold himself on the streets for prostitution, and he was a heroin addict. His life was an absolute wreck. And the room was filled with these guys. And I got to be honest, most everything that I would say or the other preachers would say as we would preach to them, thus saith the Lord, they were either sleeping or they were just totally dial out. And oftentimes I would stop and say, your grandmother prayed for you. Is this what she was praying for? And invariably hundreds of heads would lift up and look me in the face. Is this what your grandma prayed for? There they go. No. Grandma didn't want me to be like this. I ruined my life because I didn't listen to my grandma. And in many cases, I ruined my life because I didn't listen to my godly mother. Timothy, your life is you're struggling, you're filled with tears of anxiousness because of the difficulty of ministry. Timothy, and when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that was first in your grandmother Lois, she set a pattern of faith. And notice what it says there, it was unfeigned. This Greek word means without hypocrisy. It means that it was undisguised. It was absolute sincere. And Grandma had a sincere desire for you. Grandma wanted you to be built up to the glory of God and did all that she could. Grandmas and moms, what can you do to build your children to the glory of God? Well, I'm going to suggest that you send them to camps, that you send them to good biblical retreats, that you do family outings and share in those family outings wonderful, wonderful times to share the gospel, to share what's important, to cause the children to stop and learn about life in that perspective. You want to know what? I really recommend grandmas, and my grandma was big on this. My grandma Hansel was really big on this. Sit with the kids fishing. You know, when you're sitting on a bank, throwing a bobber and a worm out, letting it float around, do you know what there's a lot of time to do? There's a lot of time to talk. There's a lot of time to visit. And yet in our world today, we tend not to do those kinds of things. It doesn't have to be that. It can be out in the garden. It can be, you know, going for a walk. It can be just out bird watching. I mean, it's irrelevant. But please, moms and grandmothers, don't be afraid to take your interests, which don't seem to be, well, there's not bullets and blood involved. The kid's probably not going to like it. Please, don't feel that way. And don't think that you need to just reach them on that level. Because honestly, I remember not a lot about all those era when, you know, when I was really, really little. But I can still sit. I can still. Grandma had those chrome chairs, and it had the green kind of vinyl covering. And I can still see her green jade table with the silver metal that goes around and the metal legs that go. I mean, I can see every detail of that entire setting and the little teacups there and the doilies underneath them and the plate that she came. The plate, it was full of all kinds of holes, meaning that it was one of those fine china things where it's formed that way with all the holes in it. Boy, there's a plate with holes in it already, and you see all the swirl, hand painted, probably was Royal Dalton or something like that, because Grandma and Grandpa were fairly well to do. He was an engineer for the Rock Island Line. But all those little details, they just come rushing back to my mind. And the perspective that Grandma gave me caused me to value her perspective in the little things of importance. And so I began to learn to want to love the things Grandma loved. Well, guess what Grandma loved more than anything else? Jesus. Grandma loved Jesus. As a little kid, between my brother and I was the one that never wanted to go to church. And when I was walking up to the church of the Methodist church there in Salem, Salem Methodist Church, I was literally looking at all those big stained glass windows thinking, man, that would be a ball with my BB gun. Hoo-wee, man, I'll tell you, this would be a hoot. And now I stand before you as a preacher today. Grandma. Mom's prayers. Those make all the difference in the world. The unfeigned faith, that sincere faith. And so she was the first to set this priority faith, and she looked for ways to communicate it. I hate cell phones. Not because they're, not because they're not good to communicate. They are. They're good to communicate. But you can never do on this what you used to do with a bobber and a worm on a bank. You can never do with this what Grandma did for me at the tea table. You can never do with this what it was like to go outside and look at Grandma's flowers around her house. You can't do that with this. Take this out of the kids' hands and take them by the hand. And take them out and go for the walks, sit and have the talks. Because you know what? Before too long, they're going to find that your perspective is one of maturity and wisdom far beyond them. You see, you say, well, I'm not a great theologian. No, all you have to transmit is your love for God and your love for them. And all the little details and things. I'll never forget, wanting to pray before I eat has always been just an important thing to me, and my dad too. And I'll never forget, and I think I've mentioned this before, but I need to emphasize it. I was visiting Grandma at her apartment much later on, and from the time, I don't care whether anybody else did or who did or who didn't. When we gathered together and Grandma was there, we're going to have a meal. If it happened to be with one of the secular side of the family, Grandma did this. She bowed her head and she thanked God. And one of the things that Grandma said is, my concern is now is when we have all these ladies get together for a meeting, she said, they don't, and she used the term, they don't want to grace themselves anymore. I said, what do you mean, Grandma? He said, they don't want to pray and they don't want to thank the Lord anymore. We need to be thankful for every little thing that God gives us. And that just burned into my mind. That isn't something that you do. That is something you are. You're a grateful person. And God is the one with whom we need to be most grateful. I can't help but think of my grandmother and not think of her being grateful to God in every aspect of her life. Her husband died very young. I never got to meet my grandpa. He died 2 years before I was born. He was 52 years old. Died of something back then that you wouldn't die of today. He died of an ulcer, perforated ulcer. That's not even an issue anymore, is it? H. pyloric, and you're back, you're doing all right. But grandma never, ever, and just a multi-talented, phenomenal, my grandmother made from scratch, hand-sewn, world-class wedding dresses. I mean, just beautiful gowns. Even back then, even though I don't support the pageant whatsoever, she sewed by hand one of the gowns for Miss America because of the place that she made gowns for asked her to do that because she was one of the best in the entire United States with her attention to little bitty detail. She brought me into that world and said, all of these things have amazing beauty, Ross. All of these things you need to pay attention to. It's not about just a 10-point buck and a 30-inch walleye. You know, it's not just about those things. There are things that you need to pay attention to that you're not going to naturally think about, but grandmas and moms, they think about it. And you'll be a better person if you stop and listen to their perspective. You'll be a better person. This great faith, this priority faith, first was from grandmother Lois and then the mother Eunice. It says there in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt further than thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. Now, she continued this priority faith. And it says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. The word child there comes from the Greek word brephos. And there are different Greek words that describe different progressive stages of growth. And it starts with brephos, potion, techna, and then huios, and then anthropos. And this is talking about a child that literally is still in the womb or just born. So the mom read scripture to this child, perhaps while he was still in the womb, and certainly after he was just born. And mom reached her family with the gospel because of this. And we see this as a biblical example in John chapter 1 and verse 41. Talking, it says, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Reaching the family with the truth of the Word of God and living that out in absolute obedience is vitally effective. And one of the things I want you to know about Lois, and I don't know whether there was a time when Lois was not able to really impact Eunice, or Eunice went through a rebellious period of time, but Eunice ended up marrying an unsaved guy. And I'm sure this unsaved guy was not a good example unto Timothy. And yet it's very interesting, rather than Timothy growing up and being dad's protege, he ends up turning around and he ends up being a godly young man and gets very close to the Apostle Paul. It says in Acts chapter 16 and verse 1, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, speaking of Paul, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewish and believed. But his father was a Greek. And so clearly it's saying there that dad was not a Christian. And so dad's influence was, we don't need to pay attention to God. The gospel's really not important. Yeah, if you women folk want, you know, I could just see this. If you women folk want to pray and you women folk want to be, you know, have that in your life, but people, you know, I'm not that weak. I don't need that in my life. The fact of the matter is that she was able to overcome that somehow. And I think one of the key ways that she was able to overcome that in young Timothy's life is what we call team ministry. I'm telling you, I don't want to go up against grandma and mom when they're when they're loaded with the gospel and loaded with prayer. I don't want to go up against them. But they raised an amazing godly son. Now children have the power to make their own decisions, don't they? And I'm not saying, mom, when the kids go bad, it's your fault. I'm not saying that. Kids come out of wonderful, wonderful, wonderful homes and go bad. And I could point that multiple times because they make up their own decision. But they certainly have a much better chance when mom and dad are what? When they're living for the glory of God. But in Philippians chapter 2, Paul tells us in verse 19 through 23, several key things about this young man that I want to point out. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may also be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Christ's. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with a father, he hath served me in the gospel. Him therefore I hope to send to you presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. Grandmother Lois and Mother Eunice did a wonderful job of raised a son whom God could call into the ministry. And again, I think the sensitivity, the love, the compassion, the desire to love, the desire to know these things literally came through that area. My dad was one of the most loving men and yet firm, strong man that I have never met a better shot. I've never better shot. First time, or one of the early times, Dad and I were out duck hunting. We're on this point, the ducks are flying by, and Dad says, "Take them." And I stand up and go, boom, boom, and boom, and then, you know, I'm filling the sky full of lead back then. I mean, nothing's falling. And Dad said, "Let me show you how it's done, son." And the ducks went by, and Dad waited until two ducks lined up, and he went, boom, and dropped them both at the same time. Another two come through, and boom, he drops, and he goes, "That's how you do it." Thanks a lot, Dad. There's nothing like setting the bar right up there. But Dad used to shoot professionally, so he was a very good shot. So I'm just saying, though my dad, you know, don't think of him that he wasn't the man's man. He clearly was. And my dad was one of the most loving men that I've ever met in all of my travels. And I attribute a major part to that because I know that Dad had tea parties with Grandma too. Dad paid attention and dearly loved his mother. And Grandma Crow just had a powerful impact in all of our lives and in so many ways in all of our lives. I wish you could meet my cousin Denny. He is one of the others that was greatly, greatly impacted. Lois and Eunice raised a son with a servant's heart. How are you going to teach? By the way, who has more of a servant's heart than godly moms and grandmas? I mean, who does more serving? I don't know of anybody who does more serving than moms and grandmas. They're just constantly serving. And so what a wonderful, wonderful lesson for all of us as guys. It is okay to serve. Back in Fishing for Men, we would have multiple men come to the cabin. And I've told you before, there was, Rusty and I would size them up, and it wouldn't take us an hour that there's two groups of men. Serving guys and serve me guys. Serving guys and serve me guys. And I really believe the serve me guys, based on selfishness, obviously did not learn, or maybe they couldn't, but did not learn from their mothers and their grandmothers. Eunice and Lois also raised a son who was selfless, raised a son who was focused on obeying Christ. What is an important thing? Raised a son who had the right role models, raised a son who was respectful and responded to the authority in life. Isn't it very interesting? The Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands." The attitude. Now, you're to be submissive to the Lord first. Don't submit to the things that are carnal and that he asks you to do. You have a responsibility to obey God first. But raised a son who was respectful and responding. Women set that example before us all the time in a most wonderful, wonderful way. And do we as men need to be respectful? Do we need to make sure that we are responsive to what authority says in our lives? Absolutely. So Lois raised a faithful son, and I am persuaded that in thee also. The unfeigned faith continued through a dedicated, faithful son. But also, all of us men in this room, if your mother or your grandmother was not godly, there are plenty of godly mothers and grandmothers for you to look to. As a matter of fact, Paul tells us that we are to learn from them. We are to learn. They are examples to us. And ladies, that's something you need to continue to aspire to. Whether you're a mom or not, is you need to aspire to being that impactor, being that influence, being that wonderful and godly example. Men, if I could, and I never would want to, but if I could surgically remove from your mind and your character every good thing that came through the influence of godly women, you would be an absolute wreck. And I can prove it, because God wanted that influence into your life. And he writes here in 2 Timothy chapter 1 that influence is a vital importance, isn't it? It's of vital importance that we listen to it, that we understand it, that we respect it, that we value it, that we learn from it. I can't tell you how many times, you know, I hear grandmothers instruction from her life, or my mom's. My mom used to have a joke when I got older and as adults, she used to say, when I'd say, hey, I'm going to do this, and she said, you better not or I'm going to kick you in the head. That's what mom always used to say. And my response is, I said, yeah, if I lay on the floor for you, you can. I said, I'm too tall. You couldn't kick me in the head. She said, I'll have your father put you on the floor, then I'll kick you in the head. But and the whole point was, mom would find a way. But the whole point of the warning was enough. Don't do that, because that is worthy of a kick in the head kind of a thing there. And so you need to listen to your, it came naturally to you. You need to listen to your mother. So, in other words, when I was going to go off and do something, I'm sitting there thinking, mom says that's so much of a biggie, she'd kick me in the head if I did it. Maybe I need to reevaluate this whole thing and understand, okay, what was mom thinking about? What was mom processing? Why was mom thinking about it in that way? Whoa, okay, I think there's some thought. I better pray about it at least, and I better pause on that. Dad, what do you think? He said, well, I think you should listen to your... It's Mother's Day. It's Mother's Day. What do we do on Mother's Day? We need to think about all the wonderful and the godly and the good things. Can I help you with something? In this old sinful world, there's plenty of negative things to think about your mom, isn't there? Because we're all sinners. You look at any mom and you're going to find someone who's failed in some way or another. That's because when you look in the mirror yourself, you're going to find out that you failed. Is today the day that it's really good to hold those things close and dear to your heart? No, it's not. It's a day to be thankful. It's a day to be respectful. It's a day to be grateful. And even, like I said, even if the example is negative, at least your mother taught you what you shouldn't be like, correct? At least she taught you some of the things that you shouldn't ought to be like. But also there's other mothers. Here's what I want you to do. Every one of you in this room has a mother example in a godly person, probably one of the dear ladies that goes to this church. Not your biological mother, not your biological grandmother, but they have been this influence and impact in your life. Thank them too today, would you? Thank them too. Be grateful for them. Because I don't know about you, I love the ladies, and I mean that in the purest, most respectful, biblical form. I love the ladies of Berean Baptist Church for being God's ladies, for being God's mothers, for being God's grandmothers. Are you perfect? Boy, am I ever grateful you're not, because I'd have to leave. I would have to leave right away because I'm so far from perfect. All of the guys in this, ladies, you'd come to church by yourselves every week if you were all perfect. And yet, I'm here to tell you, we value you, we esteem you, we respect you, and we give honor where honor is due. Because that's what God tells us to do. Timothy, you're struggling in Ephesus. You feel like quitting. Remember your grandmother and your mother. And you probably won't quit. You probably continue on. Lord willing, I'll be here next week and preach for you. And you know why? Because if I don't want to get to heaven, mom's going to kick me in the head. She will. Hey, many of you know my mom. She'll be waiting for you. Get down there on the floor, boy. You were supposed to and you didn't, and I'm telling you that's a head-kicking worthy thing. Go ahead, Mom. I won't hurt. I'm in heaven. And she said, come over here. I'm going to wash your mouth out with some heavenly soap. We laugh, but those lessons are real, aren't they? The impact is real. And, you think twice because you know of what grandmother and mom has been doing in our lives. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you so very, very much for the way that you work in our hearts and lives. We thank you for our moms. We thank you for our grandmothers. I thank you for the godly ladies in this church who often do mom things in all of our lives, grandma things in all of our lives, by their example, by their kindness, by the words that they speak. Sometimes, Lord, by the words and things they choose not to say. And their self-control is a wonderful example before us, Lord. We watch them go through hard times. We watch them suffer. We watch them go through lonely valleys. We watch them go through high times and excitement. And all along, Lord, we see them in their wonderful example way shine forth your lordship in their lives, Lord Jesus. And as their pastor, it is my earnest prayer that you would burden each one of us to be grateful, to say at least Happy Mother's Day to these people, and to show our gratefulness to them with our attitudes, little thoughts of kindness, and to be respectful. So bless this dear congregation, that we would esteem that which you esteem, Lord, the grandmothers and the mothers. We pray in Jesus' name.